Hi, I'm Tom Zalatni.
And I'm Tefera Jemian.
And you're listening to the No Bad Food Podcast. If you're new here, welcome. This is a show about great food and the people who love to make and eat it.
Our mandate is simple, to explore, taste, and learn about food in ways that celebrate all the things that make it great. Every week, we dig into a different dish, meal, ingredient, cuisine, or piece of food media, exploring the history and culture around it, sharing favorite recipes, and learning from our wonderful guests. The only rule?
You gotta love it.
After all, there's no such thing as bad food. Before we dig in, we'd like to take a minute to acknowledge that the studio where we're recording is situated within the traditional and unsurrendered territories of the Ganyangahaga First Nations. As settlers, it's important that we remember that the lands we occupy are not our own, and that we engage in conversations that challenge the colonial mindset. We encourage you to take some time today and every day to reflect on your relationship with the land you live on and with the Indigenous communities of that area.
All right, folks, it's that time of year again, where 16 foods go head-to-head in intense matchups week after week to determine which food deserves to win the title of Food of the Year. In addition to the crown, the winner gets bragging rights and a bunch of extra content dedicated to it for the rest of our 2024 season. This is Munch Madness. Let's get down to business. We are moving into the semifinals this week.
Woo!
It's exciting.
It is exciting.
There's 1 week left after this.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. I can't believe we're almost at the end of Munch Madness and we almost know what our food of the year will be.
We're gonna have to start actually like thinking about the content we're producing on a weekly basis again next week.
I know. I'm actually really excited though. Like I'm very excited with the finals we have. I'm very excited with the contenders. I, of course, have my suspicions of which way this is going to go, but I'm just really excited to see what we get because I feel like we have good options no matter what.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's like, I'm in the same boat. I have a final two here that I would be most excited about, but I think honestly any of these four could win and I'd be happy at the end of the day. Like we have a really solid final four this year. First up, we've got chocolate versus salt. So this is going to be an exciting one. This is our host choice winner. Congratulations. Against our write-in winner. So I'm excited to see what happens here.
The thing I like about this matchup is I think this is the first time salt has gone against something that does not include salt necessarily.
Yeah.
And while I love salt and chocolate as a pairing, it's not something like curry where the salt can make or break the flavor, right?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how salt goes up against a contender who's kind of out of its wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And just see if salt continues to win the day or if chocolate is enough of a powerhouse to power through.
Yeah, that's it. Because it's like, I think probably most of the time when we eat chocolate, there's salt involved in some capacity, but like we don't think of it that way.
Exactly.
So no one's going to argue it that way, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. After that, we have also interesting, maybe a little less, like I feel like I kind of know the direction this other one's going to go in, and that's rice versus berries. Rice, of course, is our People's Choice winner. And berries is last year's host choice pick. So congratulations to you again.
Thank you. I know how to pick them.
But is actually the winner of our champions bracket this year, which is exciting. So that means berries, whatever happens today, berries will be back next year to compete for a third year in a row.
Ooh, I love that.
Because it just stayed in the champions bracket.
Who doesn't love a berry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. I feel a little bit like this is rice's year.
It's been feeling that way. Mm-hmm. I know rice, I mean, we just keep saying this, but rice has the popular vote. Rice has a lot of support. That's how we saw this tiebreaker go.
Yeah.
This week, you all really came through. The audience loves rice. And I mean, the world loves rice. But you know, the world also loves berries. Like, berries are everybody's first candy. There's something really lovely about them. So we're going to have to see where this goes.
Yeah. That's it. There's only one way to find out. So should we do it? Should we throw it to the first guest judge?
Let's throw it to the first guest judge.
Our first guest judge here in the auspicious semifinals of Munch Madness 2024. This is it, folks. There are 2 weeks left before we find out who our big winner is. We got four competitors left in the tournament, and all four of their fates are on the line today. No pressure for our guest judges, except all the pressure in the entire world. So who better to bring in to make these kinds of extremely important and significant decisions than Gab Chernitsky. Gab is a friend of the pod since way, way back. Gab's also an astrophysicist, a professional clown, a professional tall guy, and a fan of a good Polish donut. Gab, thank you for joining us today on Munch Madness.
Oh, well, thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me. Good to bring some representation on behalf of all astrophysicists, tall people, clowns, and of course, Punky enjoyers. And, you know, I don't take my position lightly. I'm here to make a final choice that'll settle some debates we've had about food once and for all.
You're here, you're a seasoned professional, you know the drill. I think you've voted in every single season of Munch Madness up to this point, so I don't need to give you all the rigmarole. You know what you're here for.
Oh, yeah, I'm a cast iron pan. I'm well seasoned.
Here we go. So let's throw our first two competitors into the cast iron pan and see which one holds up and which one burns instantly. Our first matchup is between the host choice division winner, Chocolate, and the write-in bracket winner, Salt. Who's your pick here? And give us a little context as to why.
Chocolate is my pick. And part of it goes to asking myself the question, could I live in a world without one of these two things? Mm. And I feel like I wouldn't miss Salt as much as I'd miss Chocolate.
Okay. I think that's extremely fair. Like, I love both. I think Salt is important. It goes in everything. But at the end of the day, this is a food competition, right?
That's it.
Yeah. And chocolate is a beautiful food. And as much as Salt creates magic, and like arguably I'm pretty sure there's often salt in chocolate, chocolate is the more compelling product.
That's exactly it. Like, I agree with you. Like, I thought about it, like, oh, I guess you need salt for bread and all these things. And that's true. But when you think about what you... I think like a lot often when we crave sweets, you know, we crave like a brownie or something with chocolate. We don't necessarily crave salt itself. Like, yes, salt is a part of things, but as you said, chocolate is just so a much bigger thing to us.
What do you think is the like perfect expression of chocolate for you?
Does Rockaberry's like hazelnut cake count?
I think so. I think chocolate and hazelnut is... This is something that I could talk about for hours as someone who works in Italian food, but there's a reason that it is as tried and true a combination as it is. Like historically, there's a reason that it got invented in the first place that links back to Napoleon and is fascinating. But without getting too much into that, like, it works extremely well. And I don't think we can take that away from it, you know?
No, that's it. So yeah, something like that, like a nice like chocolatey cake, because I mean... I'm sure if you ask me that about salt, I think like, oh, I don't know, maybe white truffle salt. But I wouldn't take my mom out for white truffle salt. I'd take her out for chocolate cake, you know?
That's fair. You don't want to just go out to a restaurant and sample the salt menu. That's a little...
Yeah, you know, some salt tastings. Can we have a flight of your Himalayan?
Although actually that does sound really fun, but it doesn't sound like a meal, you know?
No, yeah, it will be a fun experience for sure.
In defense of salt.
Again, I know salt, very important, but just chocolate just makes the world just much more sweeter.
Heck yeah. Perfect. All right. So that's one vote for chocolate. Let's get into our second matchup here. This is the one that I think is like maybe a little harder in my mind. Like, I'm not sure which one I would vote for in this one, and I'm relieved that I don't have to. And that is our People's Choice winner, Rice, and our Champions Bracket winner, Berries, which, side note, super exciting to have Berries in the Final Four again this year as the representative of last year's Champions Bracket, because like, I didn't think Berries would get this far, and I'm stoked to see it get a second chance at redemption. So without saying anything more, Gab, where are you at on this one, Rice or Berries?
Yeah, so definitely, Tom, as you said, this is definitely a very tough call. And I am going to go with Berries.
Okay.
So here's my reasoning. I think back to the same question I had with chocolate and salt, you know, what could I live without? I feel like in a world without rice, I could find ways to substitute it. And yet in a world without berries, I don't know if I could ever substitute a nice strawberry, some blackberries, some pancakes, or just like a nice blueberry, you know, blueberries on my cereal in the morning. I don't think I could get a taste like that otherwise.
Mm-hmm. To you, it's just kind of another starch, I guess, whereas berries are like irreplaceable.
Yes, and I mean, I could also say that rice is not some other starch. I definitely, you know, if I think back, obviously there were so many foods growing up and now that have rice in them, and really good rice, you know, maybe just have too many experiences with rice as part of meals, whereas like berries, maybe I'm having them a bit less frequently than rice. So those memories of berries, like, you know, my grandma serving us strawberries cut up with like sugar sprinkled on them, stand out the more because they're a lot less, maybe more uncommon than rice as part of a meal.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Rice being a daily staple and berries being a treat.
That's it. Yeah. And I mean, also, I think because the category is berries, so maybe if you just had the category as like maybe a single type of berry, it could have maybe weighed more rice. But I think when you say berries in general, I'm like, yeah, I can't. Okay, fine. Raspberries, okay, I can live without, but all berries, no, we need them.
You could live without raspberries?
They're not my favorite. I never had them in back home in Argentina, and I like them now, but something about their flavor. I think I had raspberry flavored things before I had real raspberries, so that's what throws me off about them.
Sure, yeah, yeah. I feel like if your first exposure to something is an artificial flavor version of that thing, it sets you up for failure no matter what, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, oh man, yeah, like coconut, like anything coconut flavored will definitely build up a lot of disappointment if you ever try a real coconut.
Really? So I've never had like coconut outside of the context of like, I guess, like I've had coconut milk as an ingredient in things. I've had coconut flakes, like shredded coconut, you know, but I don't know if I could tell you like how indicative those two elements of a coconut are to the actual experience of like cracking open a coconut and like doing things with it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we did buy a coconut once as me and my sister's kids. It took us a whole lot of effort and, you know, hammer and nail to break it open, and the fleshy inside was not tasty at all, so disappointing.
You gotta put a lot of work into a coconut to get the good stuff out of it.
Yeah, but actually rice, because I know I just said earlier that rice as a starch could easily be replaced, and I feel like I should back that up.
Sure.
I guess, I don't know, in a pinch, imagine that like all rice is gone from Montreal tomorrow, and I'm craving something starchy. I'd probably maybe get that itch scratched with like, I don't know, I start cooking like macaroni or just eating more bread or even just like mashing some potatoes. I feel like, sure, I could scratch that itch with rice where I don't know what I could replace with berries or four berries.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's it, right? Like there are... As lovely and wonderful as rice is, there are lots of other really wonderful sources of starch, you know? It's not like you're losing rice and, like, you have to eat pasta and potatoes and bread instead and all of those things suck. Like, no, those are also delicious. It's,
yeah.
Starch is such a beautiful thing that, like, every expression of starch is beautiful. But with berries, it's like there's nothing else that occurs in nature that is, like, a little finger food sized punch of sweet, juicy, fresh, like deliciousness like that. Like you, there's no alternative to that. We haven't found the bug that tastes like that yet, or
that's true.
I can't even think of what else could be like that. It's berries are just what they are. If you get rid of berries, I guess there's other kinds of fruit, but like other kinds of fruit, fruit gets categorized as berries and other kinds of categories of fruit for a reason, right? Like if you're craving berries and you get a peach, you're not going to have the best experience. You still might have a delicious peach, but like it's not going to be a substitute for those berries.
No, that's it. That's why I think like, again, like what could I live without or could not live without? And taking away berries in my head is like taking away one color from the rainbow.
Sure.
You just feel like, okay, there's still some nice colors, but this one color is missing completely and its absence would be noticeable.
Whereas with rice, like, look, I'm just going to say it. If you don't have rice, but you like are really, really craving rice, I would love to introduce you to a pasta shape called orzo.
Orzo. Okay, I was actually going to ask if like risotto or orzo would like fall in the rice umbrella or be counted as a separate.
Well, so risotto would fall under the rice umbrella because it's made with rice, but orzo is a pasta shape that is shaped like rice, but it's just pasta dough.
Okay, it's not the grain, it's literally just, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it's not rice. It's just shaped like rice.
Okay. And while we're giving shout outs, a big shout out to couscous.
Sure. Couscous as well, right? Another really excellent like pasta shape.
Yeah. Great shape. And you know what? I can also have couscous in like a nice salad. I wouldn't put rice in a salad, but couscous for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it. And then again, what are you going to replace berries with? I mean, on a pancake or like a fruit salad, you can put bananas or kiwis. Personally, I don't like bananas as much as I like berries. Like you said, it's not quite a replacement as it is just something else, other kinds of fruit.
Yeah, and I mean, kiwis are berries and so are bananas, actually, technically. So,
oh,
like, that's the thing, right? Like, even fruits that we think of as, like, kind of a good substitute for berries, it turns out are also secretly berries.
Well, yeah, I mean, there you go. There you have it. I'm glad we're both, like, now kind of, like, talking down rice. I wonder if I had said, like, rice instead of berries, if you had, like, a whole other speech prepared to, like, talk down berries now.
I am very ready for any of these four to be the winner, but I definitely have the ones that I'm like a little more excited about in my mind than the others. And I think for me, like the most interesting finale outcome for me would be chocolate versus berries. So I'm really stoked about the way that you voted today. But if it's not that, I will be happy with whatever the outcome is. But I think for me, like I'm in a space in my like life this year where the idea of dedicating a lot of time and brain space to sweet things is really appealing to me.
Oh, perfect. I definitely also like the idea of like chocolate and berries fighting one another because usually they go really well together, but now they have to like be fight against one another.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like it's a true lovers to enemies kind of situation. Well, there we go. So two sweet votes today, one for chocolate, one for berries. We'll see what happens with our other guest judge. And, you know, who knows? Could be anybody's game, could end up being a you know, fully unanimous thing. God, that makes my life easier as a producer. So that's what I'm hoping for at this point. Like if you had said salt and rice, I'd be hoping for a unanimous salt and rice vote too. I love it when we get unanimous votes because it means that I can just move on with my content planning. So we'll see what happens. Do you have anything you want to plug before I let you go?
You know, I have nothing to plug at the moment, Tom, but if you have anything to plug on your end, please plug away.
Well, I think you guys should check out Gab in any and all contexts that you're able to. What do you have a social media you want people to follow at all? Or
you know, at the time being, no, not at the moment.
Yeah,
so,
fair enough.
But if you ever see me, I guess, in public, you know, you can say, oh, hi, Gab, you're the guy who made that tough call between rice and berries. And we're like, oh, yeah, that was me.
Yeah, exactly. Check out Gab. Keep an eye out for him. He exists. He's around. If you see a tall guy and you're like, that guy looks like a professional clown and an astrophysicist and a teacher, ask him if it's him. And don't be weird about it.
Thanks, Tom.
Don't be weird to people that you haven't met before in person. That's my plug.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, you never know who might or might not be a clown, but I think respect, you know, still needs to be shown for both clowns and non-clowns.
Exactly. Wherever you are in your lives, if you meet a clown, remember, they're people and they have opinions about food. And if you ask them, they will probably vote for those opinions.
It's true. Unlike snails, salt will kill them.
Are you saying that clowns get killed by salt the same way snails do? All right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. There's Gab's plug for today is if you meet a clown and you want to kill it, throw some salt at it and see what happens.
Do your best.
That's a bizarre note to go out on. All right. So Gab voted for chocolate and berries. Someone's feeling sweet this year.
Man after my own heart.
Indeed. But obviously, it's still anybody's game. We have a second judge we're going to throw it to in just a minute. But before we do that, we're going to go over to the mid-roll so we can tell you guys listening how you can support the show.
If you're enjoying the show so far, make sure to hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss a new episode. While you're at it, consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or sharing this episode with a friend, maybe a friend who just loves a competitive spirit. For every new rating and review we get during the month of Gaperl, we'll be donating $2 to The Depot, our local food bank here in NDG. They can turn every $1 into $3 worth of food for a family in need, so by doing the simple, free act of leaving a rating and review of this show, you're functionally donating $6 worth of food to people who need it. With the skyrocketing price of food in Canada, this service is really more important than ever.
Yeah.
And there's literally no other way for you to donate without donating. Donate $6 even if you don't have it. So if that's exciting for you, go leave us a review. You can read all about what The Depot is doing in the link in the description of this episode.
If you got a couple extra bucks kicking a hole in your pocket, that's how that expression goes, and you want to support the show directly, you can join us on Patreon. Patreon is an ongoing crowdfunding platform that lets listeners like you work directly with creators like us to produce the best possible content at the lowest possible cost to those creators. If you join our Patreon, you'll get access to our exclusive newsletter, the No Bad Food Recipe Club, and our Discord server, where we post new recipes for you to try out and share with your friends and family. We just released a new edition of the Recipe Club last week, maybe the week before.
Something like that.
All about soup.
It's a nice one.
Yeah. There's a really good soup recipe in there. There's a really good soup hack in there. Because it's not just about recipes, folks. It's about cooking and growing in our kitchens together.
It's about hacking your soup.
Yeah, that's it. It's about putting everything in your fridge in the pot and seeing what happens.
Oof, yeah. I don't remember to do that often enough.
If you've got a little extra something in your pot that you want to throw into our fridge, head to patreon.com/nobadfoodpod today. Yeah, that works.
So let's see what our second judge has to say.
Our next guest judge here on the semifinals of Munch Madness 2024 is Tung La. Tung is the executive producer, director, president, captain, king of the pirates of the Pod Cavern Network upon which we sail our fine pod ship. Tung is also the host of Ranked, Top 5 Lists of Stuff That Don't Matter, and Disney Dummies and Talkin' Tung. Tung, if you could have one devil fruit power from One Piece, what would your devil fruit power be?
Oh, don't get me started on this, Tom. It's the gum gum power. Are you kidding me here? It's Luffy's power. I want to be a rubber man, a rubber boy, stretch all over the place. I actually thought the stretchy powers in everything was the lamest thing. And yet, as always, anime makes it cool.
That's the thing, right? It's like we've only ever seen, like, what, Mr. Incredible? Oh, okay.
Oh, well, Mr. Fantastic is what you mean.
That's what I meant.
Mr. Incredible is strength powers.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Incredible is stretchy powers.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I meant Mr. Fantastic. See, but that's how uninvested I am in the Fantastic Four, with the exception of my homeboy Ben Grimm. I just, like, I can't. I have a Fantastic Four poster in the studio right now, and it's mostly because Fraser Crane is also on it. It's complicated, my life.
Wow. Wait for Daddy Pascal to take up the mantle of Reed Richards.
Listen, that could redeem it for me. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, oftentimes stretchy characters kind of get the short end of the stick, ironically. But Luffy really is, like...
It's cool.
He's cool. He's great.
How did he do that?
Yeah.
I always thought all you do is stretch.
Yeah.
Not for this guy.
No.
This guy can do a lot of things.
Well, and that's what I appreciate about One Piece, is that it does the thing that I think comic books sometimes do, but often are hesitant to do, where they say, how can we, for lack of a better word, stretch this idea like beyond the obvious, right?
Yeah, now it's a big freaking giant fist that you can blow up by just blowing into your thumb.
Right. You used to have weak arms, and now you have muscle arms.
That exactly
like SpongeBob.
Tom, I'm saying it now, and you brought this up to me before, and I don't want this to turn into a giant One Piece episode, because you know I can make that happen, but we're doing top five devil fruits one day.
Okay,
it's gonna happen.
I'm on there with you. We're doing it.
We have to.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Locked in. All right. On that note, we got a couple things we need to settle tonight. So our first matchup is chocolate versus salt.
What was the last year's winner, Tom? Could you remind me?
Last year's winner was Bread, who actually got taken out in the first round of the tournament this year.
No way.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know where the wind was blowing for this year. Is it like common that the similar winners always take the top crown in these tournaments, or?
Well, so I was starting to worry it would be, because we had Bread as the champion 2 years running, but then Bread got knocked out right away this year. And I think part of that is metagaming. Bread got knocked out by Hot Sauce in the first round.
Wow.
But Hot Sauce recently got knocked out by Berries, who is one of the semifinalists here now.
Okay. The reason why I asked this question is that, like, I have a very instinctive answer to this, which is salt. Salt wins. But it's like, are we looking for chaos this year? Are we looking for, like, something else to take the crown? Because, like, listen, salt goes on everything. Salt is the most versatile flavor enhancer seasoning that you could possibly have. Like, you put it on meat, you put it on vegetables, snacks, salads, freaking anything.
Sure.
Without salt, food becomes bland in a lot of ways. So to me, it's like, there's no way it can't be salt. Like, listen, chocolate is good. I'm not a big chocolate fan to begin with. It's good. I'll eat some chocolate. Don't get me wrong. I'm more of a candy man myself, but
I knew I forgot something in your intro.
That I'm a candy man. It's just that, like, yeah, if I wanted to be a little shit disturber, then I'd be like, yeah, chocolate, sure, because, you know, we are recording this on Easter weekend.
Sure.
The chocolate bunny might come after me. But, like, if I'm just speaking from my heart's fire, it's salt.
Okay. I mean, listen, a vote for salt makes a lot of sense. Like, I am not unconvinced of salt in its potential to be the champion this year. Like, I really do think it stands a real, real chance here. It's got a shot. Because, like you said, it's in everything. And, like, the kicker for me in this matchup specifically is that chocolate has salt in it most of the time.
Yeah, exactly. Unless we're talking, like, pure chocolate in its most pure form. But I'm like, I don't want to eat that.
Nobody actually wants that. That's the thing.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So I think it's salt. I think it's salt. Oh, sure. I also like, are you also putting like pepper and all the other seasoning in Munch Madness this year? Like,
well, none of the others got put in. I mean, we had curry, which I was willing to hear as both dish and like seasoning, but that didn't make it very far.
Okay. I'd be curious of a Munch Madness where it's just like seasonings going up against each other.
I mean, I feel like salt making it this far this year opens that door for next year a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I can't wait for the rosemary versus thyme battle.
Well, I can tell you now, that means that we have a tie to break on this episode. Whoa. Because our first judge voted for chocolate. So that's going to be exciting. It means in the rest of the season, we, you know, send it to social media for tiebreakers. But because the semifinals and the finale air so close to each other, we actually bring in a ringer who breaks tiebreaker for
How
us.
How exciting.
All right. Should we move to the second matchup?
We should.
All right. This one is the one that I feel like is the more contentious matchup between the two. Chocolate and salt, it's like, okay, yeah, like, you know, I can see either way. With this one, I'm like, no matter which one wins this, there are going to be people mad on either side of it.
Oh, yeah.
So enjoy the pressure of having to make the decision between rice and berries.
This is so easy to me, Tom. I have to say,
it's
this
berries,
is like,
right?
No. But also, I'm pretty sure on Munch Madness before, I can't remember how many of these I've done. At least one, maybe two. I can't remember. But I do remember I had rice in my bracket or whatever a few years ago.
Sure.
And back then it was rice. And nothing has changed except for my love of rice has only strengthened and leveled up and got to a new level of Super Saiyan.
Sure.
You know, I mean, listen, I actually had some of this conversation with my wife earlier. Mm-hmm. I was just saying, I'm going to be on this podcast. We're probably going to talk about rice versus berries. And like, what a matchup, am I right? It's fucking rice. And she's like, she doesn't even like fruit. My wife hates fruit. It's just not her thing. She'll cook with it. She'll make it into a pie, all this stuff.
Sure.
But she was instantly like, berries. And that made me just like kind of recalculate in my brain and be like, wow, there must be a whole subsection out there. There must be. That's why we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
But just love berries.
Sure.
And like, I get it. I like a strawberry. I like a raspberry, a blueberry. I'm just going to start naming berries. A huckleberry. I don't know, sure if I've had a huckleberry. A gooseberry.
Sure.
There's a lot of berries out there. Obviously, the good. It's fruit's good for you. Natural sugars, blah, 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 blah. And you can make a bunch of stuff in there. Mostly dessert.
Sure.
That's what I'm trying to think. Or you can just have it on its own. It's nature's snack. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But freaking rice, man, that is like a staple. That is like a base food. That's like pasta.
Yeah.
Where you can just make rice and you could just live off rice forever. Like if it's just white rice, like, you know, maybe it's not going to have that flavor unless you put a little bit of salt on it.
Wow.
But you could just have rice and be fine for the most part.
Right.
Maybe not nutrition wise.
Yeah.
The berries are a bit better.
But you'd be filled for a little, like, yeah, it wouldn't be the most nutritionally dense thing, but it would certainly be dense enough to like not starve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I find it's a great base to, like, it's like potatoes, it's like pasta, it's just that thing that is gonna serve as like your kind of your coat food. That doesn't make sense. Your base food that you would coat stuff on top of it.
Sure.
Right? So, like, I think about, like, fried rice. I think about, like, Indian rice. I think about, like, kimchi fried rice and sushi. Like, we even talk about sushi.
Sure.
Like, sticky rice, you know? I just find there's so many things you can do with rice. And obviously, it's, you got to combine it with a bunch of stuff to level up. But in its level one form, certainly still very edible, mm-hmm. still good enough, and you could live off of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, my heart is with rice, and that's why I asked you at the beginning of the show where the wind is blowing, because if you want me to just switch sides and then turn my podcasting brain to betray the love of my life, rice, I would do it because I love seeing chaos. So I can make a similar argument for berries. If someone's like, Tongue, that's really nice, but now fight for berries. I do it for you.
Sure. Well, and so here's the thing. I'm locking in your vote as rice, but now we have two ties. So there is a tiny part of me.
Oh my God, there's another tie.
There's a tiny part of me in my heart of hearts that wishes you had voted exactly the opposite of how you voted so that I didn't have to bring in a tiebreaker. But that's the way the cookie crumbles, you know? And like, I got spoiled with that last week because last week it was two unanimous votes in a row. And I had a feeling that my luck would not be so lucky this week.
You bring me into the podcast to introduce some, you know, a little bit of friction,
well,
you know, some drama.
Yeah, it's chaos. You know, you're saying you could abandon the love of your life to inject some chaos, but I think actually by sticking to your guns, you have injected more chaos than you would have otherwise. So good on you.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Again, my partner, she doesn't even like fruit, so we don't even get to have fruit in this household for the most part these days, right? Like,
there's an embargo on fruit.
Yeah, so whenever I see fruit, I'm like, this is awesome. This is great. I'll take a handful of a bunch of different berries and put it in my mouth. That's great. It's so flavorful. It's so juicy. I get the argument, but like if we're having a meal or if I'm talking about the long haul here,
yeah.
I'm not going to have berries every single day of my life. I could eat rice every single day of my life.
Sure.
That's just a fact.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be more filling.
Well, that's it, right? And so I think that ultimately what this one comes down to, and kind of what chocolate versus salt came down to as well, is these are matchups of consistency and importance overall versus treating yourself and having a nice little time.
1000%. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's like, you know, if people are feeling like they need a little treat and they're feeling like they need to like have something that makes them feel good today, they're going to vote chocolate and berries. And if people are being practical, they're going to vote salt and rice.
If they're going to be sound of mind, they're going to choose the right thing, which is salt and rice.
Yeah.
Imagine replacing all of your meals that you would have put salt on with chocolate. That's absurd.
Sure.
Like, oh, this soup. Oh, I could use a little bit of salt, but we don't have it because it doesn't exist anymore. Let's just sprinkle some chocolate over it. That's madness.
Sure. And that's part of what makes Munch Madness a madness game. And that is part of what I see as the like infinite variables and infinite factors that go into deciding who the winners are is that, you know, probably like, I would be willing to guess that my other guest judge on this one eats rice most days as well, right? Like, it's just something that, you know, two people can eat similar things. Two people can be presented with the same options. Like, the other guest didn't say, oh, fuck rice. Rice is horrible. I hate it. They just were like, I love berries. They're a nice treat. And it's like,
it is,
you know, like it just it depends is. On what you need that day. It depends
Listen,
on
we're in
who
the semifinals. All of the food is good. Like, all of food was good anyways
oh,
in the
yeah.
whole bracket. But, like, we're in the semifinals. All of it's going to be very good.
Yeah.
So we're competing against Titans. But in my opinion, that's not even a competition.
Sure. And to me, it feels like the champ of these four, the champ that would feel like the most obvious spiritual successor to bread is rice. Rice has made it to the semifinals before at least once, and I think to the quarterfinals a couple times before that. And so like rice, I think like makes the most sense as a winner. Is it necessarily the one of the four that I would choose? I'm not even sure, honestly.
Yeah.
But like, I think like it deserves it.
Me too.
You know?
Me too. I'm going to stick with my vote. I'm going to stick with my guns. And as much as I do like berries for the sake of the chaos and to, you know, inject that that aggro-ness that I've started in this episode, I'll go ahead and say fuck berries. I don't believe it, but I'm gonna say it.
Listen, we're podcasters, we've done this before.
Yeah, exactly.
Those moments come up. All right. Well, there we go. So two ties, which means that when we call up our guest tiebreaker, they're going to basically have all the power.
Yeah, just let me know who they are and how much I need to pay them in rice.
Before I let you go, is there anything you want to plug, anywhere you want people to find you and your work?
Tom mentioned it before, but I am the emperor god. I forget exactly what terms you use. I don't even think you said that. You said king of the pirates, which is very true, of the Pod Cavern Network, which is where you're listening to this show right now. So the Pod Cavern Network has a lot of fun, cool shows in there, including two of my own. Well, I guess three, but Talking Tongues on an indefinite hiatus. But we have Ranked and Disney Dummies, No Bad Food. There's Heroes Don't Do Paperwork. There is Learn Real Good. There's a lot of fun and great shows in the Pod Cavern Network that we do it because it's fun for us and we love to spread creativity and our passion for podcasting and talking into the void. And love if you could check out all the other shows in the Pod Cavern and like, share, subscribe, and share the love of Pod Cavern all over.
And if people want to find you on the socials so they can yell at you about your choices today or they, yell at you in favor of your choices also, I guess.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. These days, you know, I would say you can yell at the Pod Cavern social media pages where you can find like on Facebook, on Instagram, kind of on X reluctantly. I hate even calling it.
I know.
Not on Threads yet. Ooh. But yeah, you can find the Pod Cavern pretty much on those big places. And also not on LinkedIn. Not yet, anyways.
I had an email yesterday from LinkedIn. It contacted me to tell me that a couple of people have checked out my profile recently. And that was how I remembered that I set up a LinkedIn profile like 12 years ago.
Yeah. In case it wasn't clear, don't find me on LinkedIn. I'm not going to check there either. You'd have better luck emailing us, which is you can email us at anything you want to say, literally anything, at podcavern.com, and that will just directly send it to the Pod Cavern email.
Amazing.
You can go no bad food at podcavern.com. You can talk about fuck berries at podcavern.com. It's likely going to forward it to the right email anyway.
That's crazy.
It's set up that way. Yeah.
Wow. The fact that it can do that is something that I would call a fuck berry skill. God, that was stupid.
I liked it. I saw you thinking about it, and I'm glad you went for it.
Yeah, we got there. All right. Tung, thank you again, and we'll see. We'll see how this all shakes out when we call up our tiebreaker judge in just a moment.
Sounds good.
All right, folks. We have our surprise guest judge to break the double tie, to double break the double tie. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of Giovanni Colantonio, our food crimes correspondent, host of Left Trigger, Right Trigger, and, of course, the gaming section lead at Digital Trends. G, are you ready?
What part of me are you breaking off? I don't know if I agree, but which part is getting those snapped off?
Well, that's actually up to you to decide.
Oh, okay. I get to choose? I feel like that's not how it should work. This is like Saw.
Yeah.
You know?
We're going to play a game today. It's a game called Munch Madness.
Which one of your fingers do you value the least? They're all useful.
The man works in video games. Don't take his fingers.
I kind of need them all. I guess the pinky.
The thing about the pinky is that it's the unsung hero of the mobile phone gaming experience.
That's really interesting that you think that.
How are
you pinky
gonna,
a lot?
How are you gonna hold your phone?
Oh, like yeah, like the yeah, bottom pinky
you
move.
Gotta,
I see
you gotta have the
about.
Pinkies on the bottom.
I you know what, that's very fair, and I didn't even think of it until I went to pick up my phone and I realized I immediately was using my pinky to balance it. But you know, you could just snap a freaking you could snap a backbone controller on there or something, and then you know you don't need the pinky at all.
We could always snap your backbone if need be.
No, I would like to keep that one.
Ah, come on. Play with me in this space.
I can't die. I'm not trying to die.
That's fair. All right. Well, speaking of not trying to die, should we get into it?
Yeah, I guess that's a segue. That makes sense.
Look, I mean, the thing about the semifinals of Munch Madness is that everything is controversial, and no matter what you pick, people are going to be really mad and they might hunt you down.
Yeah, I think I'm ready. I think these will be some clear-cut winners.
All right, perfect. So the monumental task that you have before you today is to choose between chocolate and salt. That's our first monumental task.
Okay, this isn't going to be as easy as I thought. That is an interesting quandary because I think they both have a similar thing going for them where they are like extremely fundamental foods to their respective things that they are used for. Like salt, I truly don't think I could exist. I think I would just stop eating food if I didn't have salt. Mm-hmm. Like I just, mm-hmm. it's necessary for so many dishes. I put it on everything. It's just like the spice. I don't know if it's a spice, mineral. I don't know. What do we call salt? A little rock?
It's seasoning. Yeah, I was going to say seasoning, because if you think of herbs and spices as being under the seasoning category, then yeah. Salt is like in there with them, you know?
Yeah, we'll just call it little rocks. So the little rocks that you put on your food, you know, they're really important and fundamental. But chocolate is obviously fundamental in its own way, and like is such a building block for like baking or you know, and you could make stuff without it, but what's the fun in that? And the thing that I come back to is something that I've talked about a lot on this before, which is like when I think about this tournament, sometimes I kind of think about like, what food do I actually want to eat? Like, and if it was between eating salt and eating chocolate, obviously the answer would be chocolate, right?
Sure.
Also, doesn't chocolate like just have salt in it? Doesn't a lot of it just have salt in it?
Yeah.
So like, that's a tricky thing here, because it's like, do you want the seasoning used in the other one, you know, to make it tasty? And it's like, part of me is leaning towards chocolate, but it's a hard decision, because I do think that salt is like such a fundamental building block, and like if food didn't have it, life would be worse for me. Whereas I think I could live without chocolate, you know, totally. But like, if I'm thinking about which one I'd rather eat more, I think it's chocolate.
Sure. So I mean, you can go with your heart, you can go with your gut, you can go with your brain. Like, there's a lot of options here, right? Like, this is the problem with the semifinals, is that none of these are the wrong answer.
Yeah, of course. I think what won last year?
Bread.
That's pretty cool. That's a really good answer. Give me what did bread beat in the semis?
Pasta. Pasta was last year's runner-up.
See, those are both really good ones. Yeah. I think I am going to give it to chocolate here. And I think the reason that I want to give it to chocolate is like, I want to give the baked goods and desserts a go in this tournament. I feel like it always goes to like the fundamental kind of like, oh, you know, like cheese and bread and all these things that are used to make like a standard meal. But I feel like we don't get a lot of like winners that are like dessert foods, kind of.
Sure.
And I think it's high time that one gets a chance. So even though salt like should kind of win the entire experiment as a whole in Munch Madness period, I think I'm gonna say chocolate and give a shot to the desserts.
All right.
Salt felt a little easy to me. Sure. You know, like, and it makes a lot of sense, but like, I don't know. Let's have fun with it.
Yeah.
Let's get goofy with it this year.
Let's get all silly.
Both of these things are probably bad for dogs, and that sucks, but hey.
Yeah. Dogs don't vote in Munch Madness.
That's true.
If there's one thing I know about dogs, that's it. Our second tiebreaker, rice versus berries.
Ooh. Where okay. You at? So this one is equally tough, and I don't know why I thought these would both be easy. I'm until I heard them back here, I was like, oh, actually this is difficult. This is, I think, like, berries, I remember, I think, was on last year's tournament, and I think I argued for it, and it lost to, like, mustard or some insane thing that doesn't make sense. Like, it wasn't mustard, but it was some...
Berries...
Truly.
Berries made it to the semifinals last year, actually, and lost to pasta.
Yeah, I think... Oh, I don't remember what I advocated for when I... judged last year, but I definitely judged last year and said something about berries, and there was a whole argument with my esteemed co-host on Left Trigger Right Trigger, Greg, about it, and I don't 100% remember what it was. Berry, the advantage that it has going for it is that it's delicious. Mm-hmm. Berry is delicious. There's so many of them. This is like a cheat, you know, you just have so many delicious berries in here. And obviously, like, same thing as chocolate, like, you can use it for so much and for delicious sweets and whatnot, and that's lovely. And it's a food group. It's an entire food group of berry, you know? Yeah. I mean, not just berry, but berry. Rice is one of those like pastas or breads or cheese that is like so fundamental that it feels like it obviously should win here in a clear way. Like, it feels like it should be in the Food Hall of Fame. But it's kind of the same thing here when I think about like salt you know, and it's a better candidate than salt, I think, in this regard. But like, you know, rice is like a good building block. It's an amazing building block. I use it in so much stuff. But would I rather eat it than berry? And that's a really tough question. My line of thinking is this. Rice makes a lot of sense and probably should win. My gut says rice. My heart says like berries are really delicious and a good building block too that can be used in so many different ways. That's not just rice. You know, you can put it in a smoothie. That's delicious. You can put it on a cake. You can mash them up and do whatever with them. You can puree these suckers. Really versatile food. You can do some fun stuff with them. And in my heart, part of me is like, it would be real fun if the finals this year was the dessert cup.
Sure.
And it was a chocolate versus berry situation, which would be like such a fascinating debate. And then the other side of me is kind of like, is that boring though? You know, is it boring to put two desserts up against one another that are kind of serving the same function? Is it more interesting to have like that foundational dinner food versus like the foundational kind of dessert food in some way? Mm-hmm. And I'm really torn on that. Has rice ever made it this far before?
Rice has been a semifinalist, I believe, twice. It has never won the tournament before.
And I can kind of see why. I can kind of see why it would get that far and kind of peter out there. It's not as like, I think it's not quite as like, when it comes to the foundational foods, exciting as pasta or bread.
Sure.
These lovely things that like, you know, like, hell yeah, I'll eat. Give me some noodles. No butter, no nothing. I'll slop them down.
Hell yeah.
I don't care. I'm Italian. I'll eat anything.
Don't even cook them first.
But part of me does feel like there's also a compelling underdog story there where it's like, you know, rice like is as foundational as those foods and it's never gotten its chance. And like, it would be kind of a poetic thing for it to get to the end. So a really tough decision there. I think I'm going to go with my gut and not my brain, and I'm going to give it to rice. End of the day, I think these are both serving pretty similar purposes. And I think rice is pretty versatile, even though I kind of underplayed it there. You know, you can make a rice pudding. You can do a weird rice dessert. That's a cool thing.
Sure.
I use it in so many dishes. I use it as such like a go-to side if I'm making a meal. Like, I'll probably make some rice tonight just with like a little chicken. Toss it on there. Put the sauce from the chicken on and it'll like soak it up in the rice and it becomes delicious. It's just a really important base. I think that berries rule and I hope that berries have another chance, though this would be its second time faltering. But I think sliding chocolate in past salt, I do feel like I kind of want the guilty pleasure and the foundational one here. I think that makes it a fun battle of temptation in the finals. And I think that's what's best for Munch Madness.
All right.
If anyone's mad about it, I'm doing it for the drama and for the narrative and it's going to make for a great episode.
Yeah. I mean, I hear that. I think for me, like if I had it my way in this matchup, which I don't, I think I would have gone chocolate and berries just to have that dessert cup final. But I think you're absolutely right that it's more interesting to have chocolate versus rice. And I think people are going to be excited about the potential of a rice victory more than a berry one. I don't know.
Yeah. I think like, again, like the argument that you'd have to make for both chocolate and berry would like kind of end up being similar, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like with rice, it's a very different thing and a very different like, this is like a really practical thing versus a very delicious thing that like, you know, which I think if it was just two delicious things that have a similar application, it'd kind of be like, which one do I like more? I guess.
Yeah.
They're both important to this, I guess. So I feel like the contrast there is nice. I apologize for anyone who I hyped up in getting ready for the berry cup there, or for the dessert cup. But I do think it's what's best for business, baby. And I want someone to like break down and have a crisis on the podcast trying to judge the finals. I think that's really what I'm going for. I want listeners to like have a hard time and be like, I don't know how I feel about this. And both of these semifinal matchups like were really setting the stage for it, which I kind of like, you know, it like you got the mini version of that here where it's like, okay, salt and chocolate, that's like pretty tough. And berries and rice, that's pretty tough. But I think chocolate versus rice is going to be like, how do I continue on with my life after dealing with this? And I think that's pretty cool.
That's it. This is, I think, honestly, the first year where we've gotten to the semifinals and I've looked at all four semifinalists and said, yeah, any one of these guys could win.
Yeah, every matchup here could have been cool.
Yeah.
I think like salt versus berries in an alternate universe is like very, very cool.
Sure.
Just because they serve such fascinating purposes in food. I think just like how they flavor things. Berry kind of dessert seasoning. if you think about it.
Berry kind of dessert seasoning.
If you think about it. You have to really think about it, but if you do long enough, something will happen.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about this. I do, sure. Again, existentially, or I would have liked to have seen the dessert cup. I hope no one's mad at me for stripping that away, but I feel like there's a good conversation that's going to happen here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. That's just kind of how it goes, you know?
That's what Munch Madness is all about. It's all about it building you up and breaking you down.
Yeah, that's it. And I mean, yeah. The good news is, because of the way that the bracket seeding works for the winner's division, right?
Yeah.
The champion's division, rather. Next year's champion's division is going to be chocolate, rice, salt, and berries. The opposite matchups of what we had in the semifinals. So it's going to be cool. Chocolate versus berries and salt versus rice.
Cool. Okay, so you're still going to get that kind of dessert cup at some point. I guess not for the main title, but
yeah.
But I like that it'll be there. Cool. I'm excited to hear how those conversations go, because like they're interesting debates in themselves. Yeah. But I think it's, again, rice has like a really compelling story this year. It's like it has to beat temptation. Like 2 years it has been shot down, you know, from this Hall of Fame that it like so clearly should be a part of, and now it like is finally in the finals and it has to go up against the thing everybody likes except dogs. And that
dogs
that's
like
really
chocolate
cool.
Actually,
that's true.
Dogs like they, chocolate the way I like alcohol.
Yeah. or myself with Mountain Dew.
I made myself a little mocktail that was half Mountain Dew, half Coca-Cola spiced earlier.
Ooh,
and it was a good life.
That sucks. Cool. I love it.
It was really good. It was really good. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Rice has taken down some titans on the way up here. It took out Mountain Dew. It took out potatoes.
You know? It took out potatoes. That's fascinating. I would have thought potatoes is like overdue, I think, for a victory. That's like in the same vein as pasta or rice for me. Like that's, I would put that up real high.
Honestly, if potatoes and rice hadn't been in the same division, I think potatoes would
been,
be here.
Yeah, that could have been the finals. That could have been the finals
easily.
That's the pain of Munch Madness. You really gotta, you know, go through. Oh, that's a 2 liter of Mountain Dew.
I've been working on it over a few days. I did not just drink 2 liters.
Okay, good excuse. I'm gonna, sure. Okay, that sounds good.
Believe me, please.
I don't want to. No. Cool. Very excellent.
I drink a 2 liter of Mountain Dew every day right before bed. Gee, thank you so much for double breaking some ties. As thanks for doing that, I'm going to not break any of your bones.
Oh, that's great. I was hoping that you wouldn't legally, because I think you I would never have seen you again except through the bars of a cell. Yeah. And that's great. This way we can keep podcasting.
Yeah, exactly.
With my bones.
As it should be.
Yeah, I love my bones.
Me too. I love your bones. Do you have any final words of wisdom and or things you want people to check out, social media to follow, and all that jazz?
Yeah, check out your bones. They're pretty cool. You got to pay attention to them. Have some milk. Everybody, if you're listening to this, grab some milk. Get those bones boned up so nobody can come and snap them.
Have some rice milk. Have some chocolate milk.
Have berry milk. That's a thing, I'm sure.
3 milks.
And while you're doing that, why don't you listen to Left Trigger, Right Trigger if you like video games, and if you like reading about video games, why don't you go to Digital Trends and read my stuff? And if you like shit posting, I'm on Twitter at Mario Prime.
You're one of the last people on there, right?
Yeah, I think I'm on Blue Sky too, and my better jokes are there.
Amazing. Well, thank you again, and we'll see what happens next week on the finale.
I'm excited.
Well, there we have it, folks. After Tung La left us tongue-tied with a double tie, our special guest tiebreaker judge, our very own food crimes correspondent Giovanni Colantonio, cast the deciding votes. Teffer, do you want to tell them who the winners are this year, as if they didn't just hear it 30 seconds ago out of Giovanni's mouth?
First of all, I want to put it out there that it's highly suspect to have our food crimes correspondent determining our food of the year. Secondly, the finalists, as decided by our tiebreaker, this year's finalists are chocolate and rice.
I'm really excited about this.
I'm so excited about this. And you know what I'm so excited about? This is just a Crunch Bar. This is just a Nestle Crunch Bar. And you know what I love?
Nestle Crunch Bar.
I love a Nestle Crunch Bar.
It's a good bar.
You know what's good? A Nestle Crunch Bar dipped in espresso.
Ooh.
That is a yummy thing to do. That is a hack I got out of a young adult novel.
Yeah, they're really like, There's nothing quite like a crunchy chocolate situation.
Oh, so good.
This is a big thing in Italian chocolate as well. There's a lot of like rice crunch kind of situations happening in a lot of the Italian chocolates that we sell at the store. And so I'm really on a rice chocolate kick recently. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately...
one of them has to go.
One of them has to go, exactly.
I mean, I'm going to be happy either way. Either way, we're going to have a year of great content. Either way, we don't have another year of bread.
Thank you.
We're finally being a little more gluten sensitive on this show, and we do try to be an accessible show for all audiences. These are what I love is that these are two big comfort foods, but they're comfort foods differently than the past comfort foods. You know, these are like, I don't know, they're really like sustenance. They're really like comfort foods that can keep you going.
Yeah. But in different ways. Like I feel like one of them is like rice is such a good, like it fills you up.
Yeah.
You know, it really fills you up. Chocolate fills you up emotionally.
Yeah, chocolate treats your soul.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been eating mini eggs. Like, my brain is in one place. I'm just so happy with how this entire Munch Madness has gone. Like, for this being our fifth year, this has been a fantastic run. Mm-hmm. Thank you to everybody who has participated in getting us this far.
Yeah.
This is just, like, the most fun part of the year for us.
Absolutely. On that note... thank you so much for listening to the semi-finals of Munch Madness 2024 here on No Bad Food.
Pew, 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 boy, howdy.
Chocolate and rice 1 week from today. Get ready for it. It's going to go down.
Get your chocolate shirt, get your rice shirt. Show us who you stand with.
Indeed, indeed. If you think that you have unique, exciting things to tell us about either of those topics, frankly, shoot us a message. Find a way to contact us, reach out. There's ways to do that in the description of the episode, because we're going to be looking for guests for one of them pretty badly, and for the other one, we'll always be open. Like, the winner, we're going to have to do, like, a ton of content about, but the loser, we can still, you know, we can do an episode.
We absolutely usually do some content on the runner-up.
Exactly. So, you know, whether you love chocolate or rice, if you've got a story to tell, we'd love to hear from you. Do you want to be part of the conversation? You can hit us up on the socials at No Bad Food Pod and individually at Tefferbear and at Tonsalatni. If you like this episode and you want to help us make the show even better, you can head to patreon.com/nobadfoodpod to donate. For as little as $1 a month, you'd be joining the ranks of fine folks like Chantal H, Gab, Erica, Andrew, Chantal T, David, Mallory, Sarah, Carol Ann, Rachel, Aslam, Ann, and Eric. It's always hard to say Ann and back to back like that.
Yeah, we should probably move her name.
We just got to get one more patron, because then it's going to be Ann, Eric, and.
Come save us.
Yeah.
Save us, patron.
Help
or
us.
Or somebody can boost their pledge. I mean, if Ann boosted her pledge, she'd get moved up, right?
True. Or if Eric boosted his pledge, then Ann would be at the end again.
Yeah. Just saying.
But is Ann that much easier than Ann and? Not really.
Maybe Ann can change her name. Have you considered this?
Ann, have you considered changing your name? You don't have to do that for us. Whoa.
What just happened?
The document just reformatted itself and got a bullet point out of nowhere.
Whoa, I did that by accident.
You. Sorry. It's you. You no good bullet point creator.
Our patrons get access to all kinds of awesome perks, including the ability to request topics for episodes of the show, including if you have a specific kind of rice or a specific kind of chocolate you want us to cover.
Yeah.
So if that's exciting for you, head to patreon.com/nobadfoodpod and make it happen. We also have merch. You can hit the merch link in the description to get all sorts of great stuff from our friends over at Pod Cavern. And of course, you can always support us for free, as mentioned in the mid-roll, by leaving a rating and review on your podcatcher of choice and by sharing this episode with a friend.
Our theme music is by Zach Nibs Ingles, and our cover art is by David Grains Flam. You can find links for both of them in the description of this episode. And last but not least, this show was produced by me, Tom Zalatni, and you, Tefra Ajemian, and edited by me, Tom Zalatni, as part of the Pod Cavern Network. You can find out about all the great shows on our network at www.podcavern.com. We'll see you next week for the finale, and in the meantime, remember, there's no such thing as bad food.
Sorry, was I supposed to be part of that? Just it just takes a little time. It takes a little time. It takes a little time with me. I hope you don't mind. We'll take it slow this time.
No Bad Food is a proud member of the Pod Cavern Network. For more great shows like this one, head to podcavern.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tong.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Laura.
And we are...
Disney Dummies!
Look, we know there are Disney super fans out there, but even the superest of fans could still be Disney dummies.
That's why the three of us are on a quest to watch every single animated theatrical release in chronological order, from Snow White all the way to whatever's out right now.
We dive into each movie in detail, talking about fun facts, talking about the animation, hit you with some hot takes, our favorite reviews on the internet.
We even talk about who fucks.
I still can't believe that's an actual segment.
So join us every second Wednesday for another episode of Disney Dummies.
And Pixar Pals when we finally catch up.
Yeah. Brought to you by the fairy tale whimsical depths of the Pod Cavern.
This thing on?
Yes.
Oniric.
Notes to Oniric, Day 1, by Tefer Troy, Doctoral Candidate, Alternative Narrative Traditions, Université de Montréal, October 12, 683.
Oniric.
Hello, Deirdre. I hope you're well. I'm recording this now because today's a big day. I'm meeting with a talking wolf after lunch. I'm a bit nervous about it.
Oniric.
A flame that rides the winds of worlds. A flame that seeks a single torch. The torch burns bright. The torch burns out. The flame remains and rides anew.
Oniric.
It's a dream quest. It's a grail quest. It's a fever dream quest.
Oniric.
Just say hi. Please. Do it.
For fuck's sake. Hi, Deirdre. Hope you're well. You're well rid of this idiot.
Oniric.
Coming fall 2023 in the Pod Cavern and wherever you get your podcasts.